So, welcome to The Blessing. This is June the 12th, and we are so glad and I feel personally so privileged to invite you to Yeshua's blessing and for all the good that we shall receive and all the good that we shall give just by being the love that we are. I want to open the call today with questions from those who are attending, and we have a caller from area code 240. You are on. Area code 240, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Donald Monroe. I just called. I wanted to share some, tell you that I've been sharing music with other blessing members of the blessing team online on Facebook, sending links, and because I figure in these stressful times, humor and music are positive forces for the highest good. So I chose to send music and song.
That's wonderful, Donald. Thank you for, and you're absolutely right about that. You know, I think that we have to remember that we don't always get to choose the experiences we have, but we always get to choose how we experience them.
Exactly. And I just sent a link about 15 minutes ago. It was a song, Tiny Kangaroo Down Sport. It's an Australian song. I used to hear it when I was a kid.
I remember that. It's a
yes.
Great one. Well,
yeah.
Thank you, Donald, for all your contributions. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, I'll let someone else get on, but I thought I would just share that.
Well, I really appreciate that, and that's a good reminder, everybody, that we have a Facebook group, and that's our group that's for the whole public, and anyone who wants to ask for a blessing from a blessing giver may go there. Anyone who wants to share a blessing they've received may go there and share their blessing. And anyone who wants to get caught up on the news that people either giving or receiving blessings have to share, it's a good place to go and connect, because you'll be connecting with people of a like heart and a like mind. So thank you, Donald. I really appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
And we have another caller from hi, Mary. Just a minute. Let me bring you on. Okay, you're on, Mary.
Hi, Glenda. It's so nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
You know, I just wanted to share. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just great.
Okay. I have been so eager, and I don't know, that it has been like a feeling of anticipation for today, which is the Feast of Pentecost.
Yes.
And I looked around for a church to go to. I've kind of been shopping for a church nearby. And I went to a wonderful service. And in the sermon, the priest spoke about this particular day. And he read from the last chapter of Luke. I can't remember the chapter, but it was the closing of the stories of Luke. And it said that Jesus, when he came to the apostles on this day, the last thing that he did was he raised his hand and he blessed them. And I thought, what a powerful story that is today for the remembrance of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And and as we gather for the blessings, and for that to be the last recorded biblical appearance of him doing the blessing and then sharing the blessing now, it just felt so powerful and so beautiful.
Oh, that just brings joy to my heart and tears to my eyes.
I know. Yeah, and I think that the coming of the Holy Spirit, I've been trying to learn more about in my own heart, but boy, when you surrender, when you really receive this blessing, it does feel like the feel of God, the presence of God, is so much more audible, and it feels like the realm of possibility opens wide. And so I just want to thank you again and everybody on these calls. This is my spiritual communion every week, and so thank you for being part of my spirit.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's a privilege. from my end, this is my greatest privilege, is to be part of the conveying of Yeshua's blessing, and knowing that as he raises his hand to bless you, he's raising mine to give a physical presence to that gesture. As a blessing giver, of course, you know that there are gestures of this sort in the giving of the blessing. But it's not the physical. It's not the physical that conveys the blessing. It's really the blessing coming from the heart of God, expressed through the Holy Spirit to our heart. And we want to talk more today about that energy, that very special energy that allows our prayers to be magnified, the very living energy of life, which is the Holy Spirit. So you've really set us up for a great takeoff, Mary, and thank you so much for expressing your special feelings about Pentecost. And I'll touch on that also, because it's an extremely important day, because it was the true birthday of the true church. Later on, 325 years later, a structured church of doctrine was formed. And between the day of Pentecost and that 325 years, there were many people in between telling the stories of Christ and forming their own opinions about what those teachings meant. So you might say there were some loose, not particularly structured, not dogmatic beliefs, but they were evolutionary forms of doctrine, because they were part of the human opinion about what his teachings meant. And it's natural for us all to form human opinions and interpretations of what we experience. That's just part of us each being sovereign in our own way, and saying, well, this is the way I feel about it. This is the way I interpret it. And that's fine, as long as you don't force it on another person. But actually, the birthday, the real birthday of the church, came as a blessing of God through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. It was born with a blessing. It has been conveyed through the centuries as Christ's blessing. And sometimes people ask me, well, where is your Glenda? If this is a church, where is the church building? And I say, the church building is all of God's creation, but the life energy of the church is the Holy Spirit. And as it flows from the heart of God to your heart, you are taking sacred communion. And that's what we're celebrating today, and every Sunday, in receiving Christ's blessing. But it also helps us to understand this very precious energy of life. So thanks for setting us up for that, Mary. We'll move on into our special presentation. And is there anyone else who has a comment or question? Now would be the appropriate time. I see one. Hi, Kathy. And Kathy, you're unmuted.
Yeah, hi, Glenda. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to quickly share a dream I had with Yeshua. And it was so amazing, because I was just, there were a bunch of us around him and reaching out to his hands. And I remember grasping his hand with both my hands and wouldn't let go. And he had so much beauty, so much love. And, you know, it was, his eyes was all filled with love and welling up with tears. And, you know, one thing he said, though, that I don't know what it meant, was he said that his head was severed, but not completely. Like, it's not, you know, his head is still attached to the body. And I don't know what he meant by that. But all I remember is I just wanted to hold his hand forever. And that's what I wanted to share with you guys.
Okay. I have no idea what that means either. Of course, he was not beheaded. That was not his form of execution. And I do not know what he could have meant by that, other than the fact that as a result of his transfiguration, his whole life is centered from his heart and not his head. which could be that, but his head is still there. It's a little bit like what I teach all of you, and that is that our mind is a wonderful servant. I wouldn't want to be driving my car without it. I wouldn't want to try to solve the problems of my life without it. And our mind and the biological instrument that executes the impulses of our mind, namely our brain, are evolutionary byproducts of survival. Very important. But you can't steer your life from there. You have to steer your life from a higher power. And a lot of people try to go to their heart and just cut off, in other words, sever their head. They try to just live from their heart and not think anymore. And I tell them, no, that's not what's meant. Your mind is a wonderful servant. It's just not a worthy master. I tend to correct people also on, it's so common that people have gone zealously to one extreme, and when they're corrected for being at that extreme, they'll go zealously to the other extreme. And there are people who have been so buried in structure that when they learn the perils of their life having been governed by structure, they try to drop it entirely and say, oh, structure is horrible, it's horrible. We don't want any of that. We want to just go with the flow and be in a completely free-form, serendipitous life. And I have to remind them that Yeshua was a carpenter of all people. He would understand the importance of a square, a T-square. He would understand the importance of a chalk line. He would understand the importance of the timbers of a building being truly vertical and on a square with the timbers above it in order to hold the building up. The fact is our bodies would not hold together was the structure not perfectly designed. But you see, in God's universe, structure was perfectly designed to support our never-ending growth of through inspiration and through love. In other words, structure is valuable. We can't live without it, but it's a servant. It's not the master. This is what we forget in our government. We forget that our government needs to have a structure, but we need to have a whole lot less government. The real problem in our government is not will it be Democratic or Republican, but how big will it be? We need a whole lot less of it. And when we have a whole lot less of it, we will have more freedom on the part of people to determine their lives. Yes, we need things like traffic lights that people understand what a red light means, what a green light means, so that we don't all try to go at the same time and have massive collisions at the intersection. So yes, we need structure. But we need more than that. We need to be governed by our heart, by our higher impulses of love and creativity, and structure not to be the supreme ruling authority of either our life or the land. When structure is the supreme ruling authority of a nation, then you have a tyrant at the top. You have a military imperial government, which is really very much describes the history of Rome, because Rome began as a I don't know that it was ever fully a democracy, but it was a republic. And the people voted, and it was a just and fair nation that honored the rights of people. And you can look at the passage of Rome from a republic into an empire where the citizens had no rights at all, and they were inscripted into military service that they completely disagreed with, and so on, until finally Rome was demolished by barbarians that came in from the north and by its overextension of power that it couldn't maintain through structure. So we have many historical lessons that teach us that structure cannot rule. It absolutely cannot rule. The head cannot rule, but we also don't want it severed. because we need it as a servant. If I were going to interpret that dream for you, I would say that that's probably what he was telling you, is that even though he was resurrected, transfigured, and governed from the heart and from the supremacy of his union with God and the Creator, he still kept his head about him. Does that make sense, Kathy?
Yeah, perfectly. Thank you so much.
Okay. And so you allowed me to reiterate a lesson that constantly comes up, because people tend to want to react from one extreme to the other.
Yes.
And really, the truths generally exist near the middle, but not in mediocrity. It exists on a very high plane, centered somewhere above the middle. You know, we don't find the answers to our problems by staying in the plane of reality that created the problems. At some point, we've got to rise above it. We've got to climb the mountain and get a higher perspective. But when we do climb that mountain and get the higher perspective, we tend to look down and see the solution of the problem somewhere near the middle range. And that certainly is true with structure. We do need some of it. We don't need too much of it. We need a whole lot of freedom, but too much free-form chaos creates nothing either. So thank you for giving me an opportunity to comment on that. I will, let's see, I have a very, very important message to add on to yesterday. So, Kathy, I'm going to mute you back and see if anybody else has logged on. And if not, I will move into my message, because really the message is, well, how do we know? How do we know when there's too much structure? How do we know when we've got so much freedom we've moved into meaningless chaos? How do we know? How do we know when the mind has become too dominant? How do we know how to find our heart again? How do we know what we need to know to truly govern our life from compassion, creativity, genuine sympathy, serendipitous spontaneity, and yet be seekers of truth and responsibility? How do we know? Well, there is an energy of life that gives us the knowledge that we need. And that's what we began talking about last week. I was talking about the life energy that I would like to discuss. Actually, I've got a seminar planned. It'll be an online seminar, not a live seminar, so you don't have to travel. And it'll be very, very, very reasonable. Anyone can afford it. And I'm thinking about doing it for August, because August is a time when usually we need our spirits lifted up. We've done our playing, and we're ready to, you know, pull our life back together and get ready for the fall. I want to talk about this energy of life. What is it? How do we know it? But for now, it really, as a true experiential thing, it is the energy of the Holy Spirit. And so it's very appropriate that we speak of that on the day of Pentecost. It's actually what brought the apostles out of their doldrums. Yeshua had not only ascended, but he had really left them to their work. And they didn't know how to do it. They were like a lot of us feel sometimes. Well, gee, I know what my purpose is in life, but how in God's holy name will I do it? I don't have the resources. I don't have the connections. I don't even feel worthy to do this. So how am I going to do it? Well, so they were sitting around feeling sorry for themselves and leaning on each other's shoulders when all of a sudden this whirlwind entered the room, and it moved through them. And it literally opened the top of their heads and put flames on their shoulders. But these were spiritual flames, of course. These were flames of spiritual light that filled their whole body and being. and they could understand and speak all languages, and they could understand and speak all things. And they knew then that they had received the fulfillment of Yeshua's promise, because he said, I will go. Now, I will never leave you, but I will leave your company. I will go, and I will send in my place a counselor, and this counselor will teach you all things. You may ask of this counselor anything you need to know. And he was very clear that you could ask of this counselor anything from the secrets of the universe to where's my next parking place. Because this counselor was sent to live with us on the most human of levels, in the most completely human of ways, to restore and rebuild our connection between heaven and earth. See, what happened to all of us? We all were created from the heart of God. We are all seeds of God. But we went out to have an adventure, and we forgot to take a compass with us. Well, actually, there's a compass built inside our very body and being, but we don't know it. We haven't discovered that again yet. The Holy Spirit is bringing that back alive to us. We forgot to take a string. We forgot to take a compass, and we got lost. And in our lostness, we started cultivating the idea, well, the answer is in my identity. I'm going to find out who I am. Because we all basically know inside ourselves that we are children of God. So if I just find out who I am, I won't be lost anymore. Well, there actually is a lot of truth in that, but not if you pursue it as an ego answer. Not if you pursue it as a reflection of life experience, where you're only building that understanding through feedback experience of, oh dear, I did horrible, I failed, or wow, I did that like a champion. And so we stroke ourselves on that, and then we beat ourselves up on the things we don't do so well. And we've got this very complex ego structure that actually didn't answer a single problem we ever had, which is why Yeshua told me, the first and most important thing he told me is, love is who you are. Because that's what we've all been asking, who are we? Well, love is who we are. But we're even confused on that, as we covered in our call last week. If you want to hear a really good in-depth explanation of that, listen to our call last week. It's posted online, okay? But we thought that love was an expression, or it was a desire, or it was a quality of experience, or it was what we wanted or what we thought was the best of the best. Actually, it's something a great deal more than that. It's love is a very profound, unconditional presence that lives within us and lives within all life and within all possibilities, because everything was created from love. And we need to find that. We need to find that again. Now, how do we do that? Well, it's very hard to do that in a disconnected, separated condition. And as Yeshua said, separation is the source of all judgment. And what do? We get out here, we're lost, we're disappointed, we're dragged down by life, and we start judging. Oh, well, this person did that to me, or it was this situation that was wrong. And we try to fix all these external conditions. Well, that doesn't work. Then we go back into ourselves, and we address ourselves with all the things we did wrong, and we just reinforce either our unworthiness or our ego, and that doesn't work. So what does work? Okay, that's why Yeshua left us with the Holy Spirit. And this is what has been so misunderstood throughout the whole history of Christianity. And that is, what does it mean to receive the Holy Spirit? What does it mean? So many people thought it was a one-time event. You were born again then. You were saved forever. You were reunited with God. And that's that. And then you were different from everybody else, and you could go out there and judge everybody else. What's wrong with that picture? Well, that one-time event's a very powerful event when people have it. But the thing is, it was never meant to be a one-time event. The counselor was sent to us to live with us in our lives, to be with us on a continual basis, daily. It is that force of living life consciousness that the very Creator left with us for our guidance through all things, with all things, in all things. The apostles received that on the day of Pentecost. And it is that spirit of blessing that is the church of Yeshua, that is the church of Jesus Christ. It is that spirit of blessing. The blessing of receiving it, your life becoming whole, and then your life being a blessing to other people. It's as simple as that. It's not about church buildings. It's not about protocols. It's not about dogma. It's about this energy of the Holy Spirit coming through you, but not just a one-time event that's an epiphany that makes you feel better than other people. No way. That has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do with the energy of life consciousness. I started teaching about this about 2 weeks ago when I described the fact that even our brain has different brain waves that it adjusts to according to different states of consciousness. Like there's the beta brain wave that we're in most of the time through which we solve problems, and then the delta wave we're in when we sleep and we heal and we just restore ourselves. There's about 25 brain waves that have been measured, that have been accurately, specifically measured. Well, there are more than that. And I am convinced that there is an energy wavelength of life. And I have noticed this in people who have a unique ability to heal. When they have actually replicated that wavelength, just being with them. Sometimes, have you ever noticed being with some people, you just get happier? This happened to me. All I had to do was be with Yeshua. I'm happier. I'm healthier. Everything goes better. People would just be around him. They would just touch his clothes, and they would be healed. What is it? It's that energy of life consciousness. And that's what he wants us to have directly, and not to have it through a state of dependency on him. This is why he had to leave the apostles, so they would get the direct, authentic experience of that living life energy and then be able to convey it. Because the thing about it, we can get it from other people, but when we become dependent on someone, even if it's Yeshua, we lose the center of our own authenticity. And the reason I am calling people into the blessing course is so they can have that first-hand authentic experience of Yeshua being there, the Holy Spirit being there, and having guidance to exactly focus in upon this energy and say, oh, holy, holy Creator, this is it. It's flowing. It's here. I'm there. I can know. But I realize that not everybody can be here, and this is not a hard sell on why you need to be at that blessing seminar, because the fact is, this energy will become contagious around the world, like tuning forks, when we have enough people. And there are people who have found this, people who just through dedicating their life to finding it, have found it. And I know you've known people like that. They have it. Well, that is the energy of the Holy Spirit. And it pours through people at a certain frequency. And in that frequency, you can ask anything and you can have your answer. But it's not just the frequency. Here's the miracle. Here's the real miracle. Get this. And this is why we convey the blessings. It's why you're here to receive them. And it's why gradually, Sunday after Sunday, you become more whole. Because that energy is designed to restore our connection with the Creator on all levels. Not just in heaven, in high sacred places. Not just in the holy places of higher thought. Not just in the holy places of loving activity. but walking on the earth every day, being with people, connecting to the living life energy of our planet, our universe, and our cosmos. Whether we're growing an organic garden, or we're being a courteous, safe driver, or looking for that parking place. The Holy Spirit makes us whole. And it's in our wholeness that we are restored. We're restored on all levels, body, soul, heart, and being. And that is the conveyance we're doing here. Now, I'm just the human conduit, but I help. And any blessing giver helps by being that human conduit because it helps set off the tuning fork. That, see, when you pray, you're receiving the energy of God. God is hearing all of your prayers. But you may be praying from an energy of hurting or a reality of resentment or feeling alone or afraid. And that interferes with your ability to receive the blessings that are given back to you. It's very hard to receive the blessings coming back to you when you're in this state of resentment where you can't replicate that blessing. So as a human conduit, I'm helping put that tuning fork there for you so that you can receive more fully what God is bringing to you. The blessing comes from God. Through the Holy Spirit, with Yeshua guiding it and holding the portals of your heart open as being one with you there in your heart. So let's begin the blessing. Please remove your shoes and socks so that your feet are touching the earth and sit erect in a comfortably erect way so that your head is pointed toward heaven, toward the cosmos, outward toward the universe. And we allow the forces of gravity also to work. For we, even though we may fuss at the forces of gravity when we stumble and bruise our knee, we have to bless the forces of gravity as well because they are part of God's sacred structure of all things. And so we allow them to bring this energy through us. We allow all parts of our life to be blessed. For the moment, we set our mind over on a parking bench. It doesn't have the answers to what needs to happen. It doesn't even contain this frequency. And that's part of what we have to study more about in the future, in future calls. But don't be thinking. Just be in your prayer. Allow your attention to fall into your heart and pray as you know best to pray, whether it's the Lord's Prayer, whether it's reciting the desires of your heart, whether it's in song or energy or feeling or whatever is your most perfect prayer. Know that it will be heard. And even those things you cannot express, God will know and know even more than you how what your needs are and how to supply them. I will begin with a prayer to Yeshua that I will convey his energy and the energy of the Holy Spirit for you on your behalf. That will take about 3 minutes. I will let you know when that's complete, and then I want you to go rest and assimilate for 7 minutes. Just assimilate. Don't think about it. Just rest, and it's okay if you fall asleep because this is not something you think your way through. All the cells of your body will receive. All the energy around your body will receive. All of life around you will receive. And allow the receiving to be in perfect and holy accord. So let us begin. Dear Yeshua, Son of God, Lord of the cosmos, and the one who has taught us about the perfection of all things, and how to find that perfection and the kingdom of heaven in our heart. Open our hearts that we may simply be in our hearts and pray from that most perfect energy all the prayers of our heart to supply all the needs of our life, whatever those needs may be, whether we are embracing the joy of a new day, Whether we are grieving or hurting or fearing the consequences of some news that has been laid upon us, we ask that you be with us to bring the Holy Spirit through us and restore our wholeness, that in our wholeness the answer will be revealed. We ask this in your most precious name. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Blessings be upon you. And know that my love continues to be with you as well. Have a wonderful week. And now go and rest, assimilate, and receive all the blessings of God. Bye-bye.